But we're going to get right into the word, if you can go there with me. Amen. Amen. Now, last week we learned that when it's very clear to God that we're not going to do the things that he wants us to do, we're not going to do things his way. Sometimes he's got to what? Break you down before he can what? Sometimes he has to what? Before he can do what? That's right. Sometimes God has to break us down so that he can build you up. God is a master craftsman. Don't even try to ask him to build on a faulty foundation. Don't even try to go there. He has to break us down so that he can build us up. Praise God. Today we're going to build, no pun intended, on that theme. By human nature, when we talk about understanding that God can break us down so that he can build us up, our natural inclination is to say, okay, that's great. I hear you about the breaking down part, but talk to me more about the building up. That's what you're looking forward to. I tell you he has to break you down, and you understand that, especially if you're going through it. Then that's when the message is for you. Until it's your turn, it's somebody else. But you know you're thinking about the building up part. I just want to know, when am I going to get my breakthrough? I'm trying to tell you he's got to break you down before he can build you up. I'm trying to tell you he's got to break you down so that he can build you up. But you know where your mind is. When am I going to get my breakthrough? When will my painful night end and day break for me? When will the sun shine on my situation again? You might just be in the beginning of your breaking down, and all you're thinking about is your day breaking. You know it's true. Now, if you want to answer this question, when will my day break? When will the sun shine again on my situation? When will I get my breakthrough? You can answer that question actually very, very simply. The answer to the question is based on when it is that you are truly broken down. I can tell you right now, you can look right around the corner and know the day is breaking. You can know that your blessing is coming, and I can tell you when you'll know it. When you're actually broken down. Amen? Amen. When you recognize the state or the condition of being broken down, and you might think you know what it means to be broken down. You might think you know what it looks like to be broken down, but if you really want to know when your blessing's coming, you best come to recognize and understand what it looks like to be broken down. How many of you were thinking that being broken down could be a good thing? Being broken down is a good thing when God is breaking you down in order to build you up. But in order for you to have a sign of your times, I'm here to try to help you understand and how to recognize what broken downness, I made up a word, looks like. Amen? Amen? Now, if you already know how to recognize what being broken down looks like, then you just go ahead, God bless you, and endure your challenges with confidence, because you don't need the help from this message. But this message is for those who don't know what being broken down looks like, or those who think they know but don't really know. Amen? Amen? That's what this message is for. We're talking about recognizing what it looks like to be broken down, the broken down state or condition, so you will know when your buildup is on the way. So I'm with you. I know human nature is focused on that, but I just want to help you a little bit. Is that all right? Amen. Now, that's what we're going to get from this message today, and there's a secondary little extra jewel for you. Today, we're also going to learn a little bit about the fact that sometimes you have to be broken down when you don't realize it, and you won't even know until you are there in the midst of it. Because last week, we talked about being broken down to be built up because you are not on God's program. We talked about being broken down so you can be built up when you are going a bit wayward. Well, sometimes when you think you got all the boxes checked off, you need to be broken down, but you wouldn't see it coming. So there's something here for everybody. Is that right? Amen. Now, our text will be in the book of Job. And Pastor Trina probably won't like this, but we're going to be all over the place. We're going to be in portions of chapters 1-3. And if you want to take these down in particular, I'm telling you now, we're going to cover chapter 31, verses 35 through 37, chapter 38, verses 1-4, chapter 40, verses 1-5, and 42, verses 1-6. We need to take bits and pieces of this amazing book in order to paint the picture, to give you the answer to the question, how to recognize what being broken down. I'm talking about the good kind of broken down. Now, it's not easy. It's painful, arduous, but you need to be able to recognize it. Why? Because when you are broken down, then you know your daybreak is coming. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm reading from my beautiful New Living Translation today. And so we're going to start in chapter 1 of Job. And I'm actually going to take the time to read these verses, and hopefully I can read them quickly enough because I know that time is going to quickly get late. But I'm going to do everything. I'm going to give you everything you're supposed to have today. Amen?
Amen.
Now I'm going to read verses 6-22, and this will set the stage. One day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." Verse 9, Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God." This reminds me of the song that we were singing. Not because of what you do, but because of who you are. He says he has good reason to fear God because you've always put a wall of protection around him and his home, and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. God says, "All right, you may test him." The Lord said to Satan, "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence. And this is where you start seeing the walls come tumbling down in his life. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting, at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. "Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided us. They stole all the animals and killed all the farmlands, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." But while he was yet speaking, this is just piling on, while he was yet speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. "The fire of God was fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." And while he was yet speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. "Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." And while he was yet speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. "Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness, the desert, and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. I am the only one that escaped to tell you." Now, is that enough calamity? Would that be difficult in your life? I am the only one that escaped to tell you. Now, think about this. How would you like for all that to go on in your life? How would you like to have that many problems? How many of you are facing that kind of difficulty? one thing on top of the other. Not just all your stuff, but all your people too. His wife is the only one that the Lord didn't take. And we could talk about that. But Job stood up and he tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and he fell on the ground. And what did he do? He worshiped. How many of us would have that kind of fortitude? How many of us would have that kind of discipline? How many of us would have that kind of commitment to God? And as he worshiped, he said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. And in all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Now, he suffered a lot, did he not? He suffered loss, and he has reason for sorrow. Do you think that this is what being broken down looks like? Because you might have lost something. You might have lost someone. You might have lost some ones. You might have had multiple calamities, one after the other, just like him. I'm asking you, do you think that that is what being broken down looks like? I'll say maybe, but probably not. If you think just the look of your circumstances is all that you need to know if you've been broken down, then you need to learn some more. And that's why we have more word coming. Amen? Because just because your stuff has been taken away, just because your advantages have disappeared, that doesn't mean that you are yet broken down. Believe it or not, that is just the beginning. The rest depends on you. Now, as we go to chapter 2, we won't read a bunch of chapter 2, but what we do know is that Satan is allowed to test Job again. But this time, he's allowed to touch his body. And he's able to afflict him with painful boils all over his body. I said painful boils. And he was so bad off that his wife told him what? Why don't you just curse God and die? You complaining, you're in pain, you look horrific. Why don't you just curse God and die? But this is the man that said, hey, the Lord give it, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the King James Version. Wouldn't we love to be that upright? Wouldn't we love to be on post and on point that way? Wouldn't we love to have that testimony? And so his wife says, oh, man, this is just ridiculous. Why don't you just curse God and die? Now, understand you, at this point in time, if he died, she'd be in trouble because there's no sons. She'd be a pauper widow. But that's how bad off he is. Understand the context. That's how bad off he is that she's saying, why don't you just curse God and die? She's fine. And he's going through. Now, emotionally, she's not fine. She's lost her children. But understand, this is someone who, if he dies, she would become a poor begging widow. And yet, he had to be bad off, is my point. Why don't you just curse God and die? But let's see in verse 10 of chapter 2 what Job had to say as he was in this tough situation and his wife tells him to curse God and die. But Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? He said, you talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. Talking good so far, right? Talking good. Now, immediately after that, or soon after that, Job had three friends that came from afar off to come and console him. Isn't that nice to have friends? Sometimes, huh? But as they approached him, he was so unrecognizable. This is how bad he looked. I wish I could paint the picture. So unrecognizable, so bad off, that actually all they could do is sit down with him for 7 days and 7 nights in silence. 7 days and seven nights, they just sat with him in ashes, grieving, trying to console him, but saying nothing. That's just how bad off his situation was. They did not think that words could do justice to his situation. And sometimes that's the way it is with us. You just don't know what to say. And you know nothing you say is going to make the person feel better. You know it's not going to fix it. And all they did was sit with him for 7 days. That's just how bad it was. Now, up to this point, Job is handling this business, right? And he did not curse God even after he got the painful boils. Now, after all of his family is gone and all of his stuff is gone, and his body is racked with pain, do you think that that's what being broken down looks like? When it gets that bad and your loved ones tell you, why don't you just curse God and die? When your friends look at you and you're unrecognizable, do you think it's now bad enough to where you are broken down? Do you think that's what it looks like? So when your life gets that difficult, seems like it can't get no worse, do you think you are now at that point broken down and God's ready to build you up? No. It can't look any worse. And yet, that's not being fully broken down. That's not what it looks like. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's look at chapter 3, verse 1, and we're going to see what this broken downness can begin to look like. This is after Job has all these sores and his wife has told him to curse God and die, and his friends are sitting there with nothing they can say, 7 days. And Job is the one who breaks the silence. And we see here in verse 1 what Job had to say. The great Job. At last, Job spoke. And what did he say? He cursed the day of his birth. This is Job now. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You silly woman. Why would we expect that God would only give us good things? Why can't you understand that sometimes bad is going to come your way, even in the Lord? You silly woman. Now, I don't know if it was his friends or the 7 days, but clearly something else is going on. And he says he cursed the day he was born. Now, listen to me. He didn't just curse the day. He cursed the whole day. He wanted it blotted out from the calendar, expunged from the calendar. He wanted the day he was conceived to disappear so there was no possibility that he could come into being. He cursed the day he was even conceived, wanted his mother's womb closed up. And he went on to say, if I had to be born, I wish I was still born. If I had to come into this world, I wish I came into this world dead. I could then have peace. I could then have rest. Now, you know he's messed up in his mind at this point, because think about what that would mean to your mother. He'd rather be stillborn. And if he couldn't be stillborn, but he had to be born alive, he's saying, I wish they hadn't fed me and let me starve. And if they had to feed me, I wish they hadn't stopped my fall with their knees and let me hit my head so that I can die before I would remember any of this pain that I was going to have to go through. So now I'm going to ask you, you see the great Job and you see where he's at now. Do you think that this is what being broken down looks like? Do you think? Huh? Let me just tell you this. We know that this is not what being broken down looks like. And the reason that we know is because he's still prideful. He's still questioning and challenging God's actions and God's plan. If you want to go back and take away your own life, if you want to go back and undo your whole life because of what you're going through, because of what God has allowed you to go through, you're saying God's wrong. So just because you think you're too short, you think you're too tall, you think you're too young, you think you're too old, you think you're too light, you think you're too dark, you think you don't have enough money, if you won't do what God has told you to do, you're calling God a liar. You're saying God is wrong. And when you're in that place, you need some more breaking down. You need some more breaking down. We know that this is not what being broken down looks like. We know there ain't no breaking a day coming for you, dude. Because you still got nerve enough to want to blot out the day that God's thought was going to come into being. He knew you before you were ever conceived, have a plan for you before you ever came out. But you got nerve enough. It's the same dude that, blessed be the name of the Lord, and you silly woman. I don't know what the 7 days or the friends did. But he wanted to curse. We remember we learned about Elijah. He was so frustrated out in the desert. He said, oh, why don't I just die? This is not just saying I want to die. Job wanted to die. He has a whole soliloquy about dying and how beautiful it is. But he wanted to blot out his own conception. He wanted to undo God's thought. That's some serious stuff. Now, he goes on to argue back and forth with his friends. And Job has 42 chapters. And let me just tell you, he argues with his friends all the way through chapter 31. Now, is that a lot of arguing? That's a lot of words. And they weren't good words. Amen? So now let's look at chapter 31 and verses 35 through 37, because I want you to know, after all this arguing back and forth, you know he's not in a good state of mind because he's challenging God's sovereignty. He goes on in chapter 31, and I'm just going to give you a little clip because I know we're going to run short on time. He just says, he says, basically, there's no orphans that I didn't take care of. When did I not give the homeless clothes? When did I not provide clothing to keep them warm? When did I raise my hand against an orphan? He goes on and on. Have I put my trust in money and felt secure because of my gold? Have I gloated about my wealth? Have I looked at the sun shining in the skies or the moon walking a silver pathway and been secretly enticed to, in my heart, throw kisses and worship it? I mean, he goes on and on to say, I haven't done any of these things. I've dotted all my I's. I've crossed all my T's. This is after he's argued back and forth with his friends. And then in verse 35, he goes on to say, if only someone would listen to me. Look, I will sign my name to my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser write out the charges against me. I will face the accusation proudly. I will wear it like a crown, and I would tell him exactly what I have done. I would come before him like a prince. Now, what do you think about him now? Getting a little haughty there, huh? Getting a little arrogant there, huh? This is the challenge that we have when we got it all going on the outside. When we really have dotted all our I's, that's the challenge. It's very easy to put people down when you know they've gone wayward. You know when people have disobeyed God and it's known. It's very easy for you to wag your finger at them. But let me just tell you, there's some of us who have it all together that also need to be broken down. And so this great Job, and we know how great he was, needed to be broken down. And we're starting to hear, see why he needed to be broken down. But do you think that he's broken down yet? Do you think he's ready for his breaking of day? I don't think so. Why? Because he's still prideful, because he's still self-righteous, and he's still challenging God's judgment. He's got to break you down before he can build you up. Amen? So after this, a young man named Elihu, God sent, came and told Job and his friends a thing or two or three about themselves and about God. And so then God begins to speak to Job in a whirlwind. Let's go to chapter 38, verses 1 through 4. We're making it on through pretty good. Chapter 38, verses 1 through 4. We're talking about breaking you down before God can build you up and what being broken down looks like so you can know your daybreak is coming. God is telling Job what he needs to hear, and this is how he starts, and that's all you need to hear because then you know how he finishes it. Then the Lord answered Job from a whirlwind, and he says, "Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words?" Now, he called his wife silly. God calls him ignorant. "Brace yourself." I believe that in the King James, it probably says, "Gird up your loins like a man. Because I have some questions for you that you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" It's so hard when I read this not to keep going. "Tell me if you know so much. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" And he's describing it like a building. He goes on to say, "Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations and who laid the cornerstone?" It's so hard for me to stop when I go through this. But he's telling him a thing or two or three. And he goes on and on just like this. But this exchange ends in chapter 40. Let's go on there. I'm making all right time. This exchange ends in chapter 40. And all we need to look at is the first five verses to get the sense for it. It reads like this. "Then the Lord said to Job," after he's told him a thing or two or three, "do you still want to argue with the Almighty? You are God's critic, but do you have the answers?" And then we see Job's response. "Then Job replied to the Lord, 'I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will cover my mouth with my hand. I have said too much already. I have nothing more to say.' So now I ask you again, do you think he's broken down now?" He's close, but not yet. He's now realized that he's not on the level to be challenging God. But if you go through your calamities and you go from saying the right thing to the wrong thing and you get haughty and you finally start breaking down and start criticizing God, just because you realize you're not on his level, that's a step, that's progress, but you're still not there yet. Daybreak is still not coming just because you realize you're not on his level. You should have realized it a long time ago. So, you know, that's not completely being broken down. So finally, we go to chapter 42. Now, this is after God has laid into him a second time. It reminded me of when my mother used to whip us. "Didn't I tell you not to do that? And then she starts again. "Then I tell you." Okay.
Catch your breath.
Yeah. This is exactly what happened here. God was not, you would think. Now the man has said, "Lord, I'm covering my mouth. There's nothing I can say." You figure that's it, right? Mm-mm. God was not done. He laid into him again. And so finally, we see after this tongue lashing in chapter 42, verses 1 through 4, or excuse me, 1 through 8, what Job had to say to God. It reads, "Then Job replied to the Lord. He says, 'I know that you can do anything.'" You need to understand this, because when you're in a situation that you don't like, that's uncomfortable, that's confusing, frustrating, God could, with a half a blink of an eye, solve that problem overnight. I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. You asked him speaking to God. You didn't get to see this part because we didn't read all of what God said to him. But remember, he said he was going to ask him some questions and that he needed to answer. So he says in verse 3, he says, you ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. Okay, now understand now. He realized that God, that he's not on God's level. But now what is he doing? He's saying, you ask God, who is it that questions your wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about. Things far too wonderful for me. And you said, Lord, Job speaking, listen and I will speak. I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Job says, I had only heard about you before, Lord. I'd only heard about you. Now, this is the guy who, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. You would figure he's got this great relationship with God. He's understanding the difference, the magnitude of difference between the God he knew before being broken down, the breaking down process, and the God he's come to know now. He says that God said to him, I have some questions for you and you must answer them. He said, I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. What gave him this opportunity? The breaking down process. Because you can fly high and claim to know the Lord and maybe even know a little bit about him. But in your tragedy, in your difficulty, in your times when you got to reach out for him, and you know from whence cometh all that you have, you're going to get to know him in a better way, like the whiner said. But now I have seen you with my own eyes. And then the coup de grace, he says, I take back everything I said. And I sit in the dust and ashes to show my repentance. Now, do you think he is broken down? Do you think so? He is indeed. He is broken down and he can now be built back up. Why? Because he's not just recognized that he is not on God's level. He's recognized God for who he really is. Not because of what you've done, not because that's what Satan said. If you attack his stuff, he's going to curse you. He didn't curse him, but he sure criticized him. You know who God really is. Now you're ready to be built up. You can see God's hand in your life during the good and the bad. Now he can work with you. Too often we want to offer him something that's not good enough and expect him to accept it just because we say that's all we're willing to give. Sometimes he ain't willing to work with what you're willing to give. And you need to be broken down. Why? So you can be built back up. You need to see his hand in your life. Recognize him in your life. Recognize him in your circumstances, good and bad. And understand, Satan can't do nothing that God don't allow. And remember something. God is the one that called him over and said, have you considered my servant Job? God started it. God started it because he knew while he was bragging on him, something needed to be worked out of him. We didn't cover it, but Elihu said, you went through all this, Job, because your wealth was about to, I said about to, get the best of you. It was about to. You hadn't gone there yet. God saved you from your demise through the breaking down process. And you start cursing him. Well, you didn't go as far as to curse him, but you start criticizing him because you don't like how it feels. You don't like how it's going. You don't like you lost your stuff. Your wealth was about to be your burden. It was about to be an anchor around your neck. It was about to be, but you would never see it coming because everything was fine as far as you know. But how many of you know God, he can see further than you. He wasn't messed up yet. He was about to be. And you know how the story ends? God gave him twice what he had before. He wasn't ready for twice before because what he had was about to be a noose around his neck. So is God breaking him down because he's mad at him? Is God breaking him down because he hates him? Is God breaking him down because he don't want to be his father and have him as his son? No! He breaks you down so he can build you up. It's a loving God. And now when you accept God's sovereignty in your life with humility and true repentance, that's what being broken down looks like. And that's a foundation that God can build on. And you know the rest of the story. The man got twice as much as he had before. He lived to see four generations of his children and grandchildren. And twice as much. Because that's what God wants to give us. He's not trying to rob us. He's not trying to beat us down. But I can tell you, if you're not on point, he will break you down, but only to build you up. And you can be on point. And you have to really embrace the sovereignty and the endless knowledge and love of God. If your situation starts to go wayward and it's difficult and you think you got all your I's dotted and all your T's crossed, just don't you dare ever, ever, ever question God's judgment. And you'll know when you're broken down, when you've admitted, look, God, you know what's best. And you humbly accept his sovereignty, giving him a solid foundation now upon which to build. And he will be faithful. He will build you up, and it'll be better than what you had. Not just what you had, better than what you had. Better than what you had. He will break you down, but why? So he can build you up. He will break you down, but why? He will break you down, but why? And the breaking process is good. If he breaks you down, it's because you needed it. If he breaks you down, it's because he knows you better than you know yourself. If he breaks you down, he knows where your next step is going to be. He knows there's a landmine. You don't know. It looks like a pristine park. Beautiful. This is what it's like to give yourself away. This is what it's like to truly trust in God. This is what it's like to truly depend on God. This is what it's like to truly be a God man or woman. That means you be a man or woman and let him be God. But when we get to know him a little bit and we get to be known a little bit and we got some gifts and we're going to church and we're tithing and everything seems to be going so well, you can get it twisted. You can lose perspective. And you can dare come into a courthouse and write in your own name, not Jesus now, in your own name to claim your innocence with God on the other side. You can get to that point to where, look, now I don't deserve this because. Don't do it. Don't do it. I know it's hard. God knows it's hard. But let God be God. And let every man be a liar. Amen. Yeah.